This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
America's top two economic policymakers are talking today about the past and future of special pandemic payments. I'm David Brancaccio. The two most powerful economic policymakers in the country are on Capitol Hill today talking to lawmakers about the $3 trillion spent to counteract the pandemic recession. And there will be talk about more aid to come. David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Welcome.
Good morning.
So the chair of the Fed and the Treasury Secretary are going to be briefing Congress today on coronavirus stimulus. We'll have to see, I guess, wait till Thursday with the unemployment report, just how much of this stimulus we still need.
Yes, I think the report's going to tell us we still need a lot. I mean, unfortunately, the bounce is losing its bounce here. We saw a huge cratering of economic activity as the economy shut down in April. And we have seen a partial recovery. But there are a lot of sectors of the economy, a lot of industries, frankly, which are just mostly shut down, and a lot of unemployment. So I think on Thursday, we'll still see double-digit unemployment. And that means there's a lot of work to do to try and help the economy and help people through this.
Yeah, the bounce isn't what it was, in part because of the numbers we're seeing from some states where coronavirus cases are sadly blossoming.
Yeah, you can't really get past the basic science of this virus. I mean, it's just so contagious. That means that when we relax our guard at all, it just increases. Now the good news is that there are about 14 states where there's a mandatory mask rule, and actually cases in those states aren't growing. So masks are very simple, but they actually work. But unfortunately, as a nation, we don't seem to be quite disciplined enough to adopt that. And while this virus is running rampant, it's very hard to reopen large chunks of the economy. And that's really the position we're stuck in here.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
With pressure on the Trump administration to create a national policy for wearing masks, there's confusion for people and for businesses, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Jolie Gerber is 27. She just finished her second year of law school remotely in New York. She really wanted to fly home to L.A. this summer, but COVID-19...
You know, when you sit watching the news all day, you get very freaked out that it's very easy to catch it. The numbers just keep going up.
A lot of Americans face the same dilemma. They want to go places, but they feel safer staying home. And so far, hunkering down is winning. TSA passenger screenings have fallen 3/4 since last year, says Airline Weekly editor Madhu Unakrishnan.
There's still a significant number of people who say they just don't feel comfortable jumping on an airplane.
The main reason, he says, lax and inconsistent health and safety rules for passengers and crew. For instance, at LAX, they're starting to temperature screen passengers.
That's not true in other airports. Most airports are recommending facial coverings, but not all are requiring them.
Most airlines require masks in flight, but only a few say they'll ban non-compliant passengers.
Since there is no overarching law that requires these things, it's up to us to find out. It's just a hodgepodge, and it's just a mess.
Businesses of all kinds face pretty much the same mess of overlapping federal, state, and local guidelines. Meanwhile, they need to bring in customers while keeping their employees safe from infection. It's kind of a minefield, says employment lawyer Lynn Anderson at Fager Drinker.
Even if a business has decided to require that all customers wear masks, not all customers want to wear a mask.
In the end, law student Jolie Gerber decided to fly home to L.A.
I felt like I hadn't seen my family in a few months. Ultimately, I decided if it was worth taking a calculated risk.
Everyone on the flight wore a mask. She's fine. So are her 60-something parents. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The pandemic shutdown of Broadway has now been extended at least into January. Actors Equity, the Performers Union, is lobbying for $4 billion in extra money from sources such as the National Endowment for the Arts and for the Humanities. China's parliament has passed what's characterized as a national security law covering Hong Kong. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins us now from Shanghai. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, David.
What's the point of this new security law?
Well, there were continuous anti-government protests in Hong Kong. So this law is meant to tackle secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign forces. Now, Chinese authorities repeatedly say this law is aimed at a few so-called troublemakers and not investors, but people are nervous.
What are they nervous about? I mean, concern about the heavy hand of Beijing that could follow this?
Yeah, and also taking away what makes Hong Kong really the real, true global financial center in China. Say, unlike here in Shanghai, Hong Kong has a free internet, free press, no capital restrictions, an independent judiciary, all things that international firms like.
What about the U.S.-Hong Kong trade and financial connections?
Well, the U.S. has already started eliminating Hong Kong's special trade status. It stopped exporting U.S. defense equipment. American firms can't sell certain technologies that can be used for military purposes here. And now there's talk of more retaliation. Of course, there's a bigger concern that these tensions could spill over and affect the mini trade deal that the U.S. has already signed with China.
Marketplace with Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you. There are published reports that Uber is interested in buying Postmates, the delivery service, for more than food. But there's a new wrinkle this morning. Postmates says it's reviving plans to sell its stock to the public for the first time, an IPO. That could mean the company could live fine without getting hitched to some other company. Postmates has been thriving in the COVID economy with people ordering in meals, medicines, booze, kitty litter, all of which Postmates can do. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.